Hey, what's going on? This is the Educated Guest Podcast. I'm Justin. I'm your host. Hey, if this is your first time joining, thank you first and foremost for becoming a part of this community. What you're becoming a part of is a collective of, at this point, a listenership of 30,000 plus around the world. And for the last 2.5 years, most of these people have come here or found themselves here because they care about the holistic development of their art practice. At the end of the day, initiating your own practice, initiating your own work as an artist of any discipline or any medium is incredibly, incredibly full of anxiety. So a lot of what we do is help that artist who is hoping to initiate their own work, maybe start a studio of their own, or maybe get the dream job that they've wanted for quite a while, or the dream client. And we equip you with the tools, the tactics, the mindset, and the inspiration to help you get there. A lot of what we also tap into is the spirit and the energy of both the institution and the public. We seem to find our sweet spot right in between the two. And for the past 2.5 years, like I mentioned, we've been touching hearts and minds across the world. We've done a variety of partnerships, events, talks, you name it. We've done quite a lot. Yet we're really focused on the core of our messaging yet again, on giving you a sense of community, giving you a sense of purpose and a sense of consistency that you can count on so that your education is continuous. So if any of this sounds interesting to you, I highly encourage you to go to educated-guest.com and subscribe to our newsletter. I think you would love it. Today's talk is about the process of cataloging and classifying attributes. So as we go through our daily practice, as we go through our daily existence, really, as designers, as artists, we all come across the same problems, right? We're always looking at a blank screen or blank canvas, a blank anything. Blankness and that abyss of that white, or that abyss of nothingness, or that abyss of that blank Final Cut Pro file or Illustrator file is extremely, extremely intimidating. The thing is that we're always asking ourselves, well, how do we begin from nothing? I know I've done it before, but I'm not sure how to do it again. We stare into the void. We likely have looked at thousands of images over the years that have no doubt influenced us, yet if it becomes too noticeable who we're exactly pulling from, then we also feel a sense of guilt in that. So the core question we're trying to answer today is, how does one navigate the boundary of inspiration and plagiarism? And today it's going to be relatively short because I really think this is something that you can really take home with you as an assignment of sorts, something that will come back up and rear its ugly head over and over and over again. So what I'm going to do is pass on a tactic that I found extremely helpful for me in my practice and walk away with a few bullet points and we'll be out of here. So the solution to this problem of not really knowing how to begin and not really knowing how to separate your inspiration from the items and the things that you've plagiarized, or the inspiration from the copying or the mimicry, is to create a catalog of attributes and learn how to accurately study precedents and study your references. A lot of people have arena boards. A lot of people have Pinterest boards. A lot of people have these things and they collect and curate. Yet, if someone were to ask them why something made it to a board and why something didn't, if I were to ask you right now, you have a Pinterest board. You have 100 images on there. Why did image 78 make it? And what were your considerations in putting 78 next to 79? Why? What are you interested in? So a lot of times our reference process has become subconscious. We know intuitively why we add these things, but we don't really know linguistically and in our logical and our conscious mind why certain things actually interest us. So what this results in is lots of confusion when we actually come, when it comes time to create and produce ideas. So what I want you to do is get a notebook or perhaps get a piece of paper. If you're just sitting here right now, I mean, not many people just carry around paper. So you can use your phone, your notes app. And I just want you, there's really a one quick step is I want you to identify, your homework is to identify the common attributes of your subject or your field of study. And you might be asking, okay, well, what in the world does that mean? And we've all been in those talks where somebody asks us to do something and we're ready, we're excited, we're motivated, we're about to have a new thing to focus on, get better at. And then we just get frozen. We're like, bro, what does that mean? So I'm going to break it down. A couple examples. If you want to start with web design, everybody knows that web designers, UX designers, app designers, there's a multitude of ways to do a pop-up or a modal or an in-modal experience or a checkout experience and all these different things, global navigation. What I want you to do is to break down the basic elements that you know are needed to create a designed website or a designed app or a design for a graphical interface or a GUI, so to speak. Those elements might look something like this. You might have a running list of bullet points that says, oh, well, I know for web design, there's global navigation I need to be studying. I need to study interactions. I need to study animations. I need to study layout. I need to study user flows. I need to study scrolling. I need to study different types of scrolling, parallax scrolling, infinite scroll. I need to study accessibility standards. And as you start thinking about these different categories, I really advise that you don't have 100 elements because as you begin to do your studies, you're going to be like, well, I'm interested in the color black, or I'm interested in the use of the color of checkboxes. Just some high level, roughly 7 to 10 at most 10 categories of elements. So another example, I'll give two more examples and then I'll wrap up here in a second. Another way of doing this for the field of something like architecture, which is heavily reliant on precedent studies, heavily reliant on references, whether people want to admit it or not, it's a method of beginning a project. So you in architecture, one might study, for example, representation, diagrams, material, construction strategies, type of site. You might be studying light, shadow, access, circulation, building typology. And you don't have to use all of those. It can be four or five things that you just come back to and you know you're looking at. And the last example, which really hit home for me, was in music, which I think proves the point of how you might be able to use this for your other referential studies. In music, one would listen to a song and notice probably 5 to 6 things that would define a genre or define a style or define a reason for liking or disliking in a song or an album. Typically, these are factors of or elements might include tempo, sound selection, sound design, the key that it's in, arrangement, rhythm, you know, drum patterns, melody. Like these are non-parallel, but however, still comprehensive ways of looking and dissecting your craft. That's all that you're doing. You're dissecting your craft. You're looking and you're building a list that says, look, I know that when I go look at architecture, I'm looking for these 6 or 7 things to at least to start with. And I know that when I construct a website or I construct an experience or I construct a poster design or I'm doing brand design or an identity or a logo, I know that at the end of the day, these are the elements I'm focused on. So you might be asking as I wrap up, why did you just tell us to do this? Why do we have a list of elements that we just look at? Like, what are we supposed to do with this list? The good news is that there are three core benefits to doing this and to simply cataloging. The first is that you understand how to study your craft more effectively. You'll understand how to study your craft more effectively. You're no longer going to be randomly looking at images, no longer going to be randomly passively looking at things and passively listening to things and passively watching things. You're going to know what you're looking for. It's a lot like watching movies with the sound off. With the sound off, you're able to focus and solo out the cinematography. Secondly, this will help you understand exactly what you are pulling from in terms of inspiration. Exactly what you're pulling from. So every time that you look at a new house, or you look and you decide to begin your process by maybe listening to three or four different albums, and you've built this playlist of inspiration, or you've built this collection of websites that serve as like a good mood board for your upcoming project, or perhaps you have a few conceptual art projects that you want to execute, but you're unsure of how they might be received. This is how you will then dissect those projects to understand how to pull from something and specifically what you're pulling from. And last but not least, the third and final thing is that you're capturing the framework that made those precedents inspirational without plagiarizing and recreating them. So a good example that I love to think about is to think about the work of Frank Gehry, for instance. And when you think about Gehry, you're not necessarily interested always in producing something like the Bilbao, or you're not necessarily always interested in producing something like the Walt Disney Concert Hall. However, it might just be the manipulation of a surface is your starting point, and you're interested in the way that building materials could be manipulated. Likewise for furniture design, likewise for graphic design, likewise for film, for music. And I really, really think if you take these things to heart and you use this as a tool that's just added to your tool belt, it's not the entire tool set, but it's one tool, it's one drill bit that will help you get things done. I really do believe this is beneficial. So until next time, again, at educated_guests, you know, if this felt good to you, if this felt, if you felt in alignment after listening for the last 10 to 15 minutes, I really highly encourage that you just tap into our ecosystem at educated-guests.com, educated-guests.com, and subscribe to our newsletter. So that said, that's all I have for today. Till next time. Peace.